How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw aside the curtain on a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, one of the world's most famous wills, but first, a word from a familiar voice. And that's advice well worth heeding. Now, if you will, step with me behind the scenes to the year 1889. In a luxurious room near Stockholm, Sweden, an aging man is corresponding with his lawyer. "My hair is gray and I'm worn out," he writes. "I must prepare for shuffling off this mortal coil. I ought to have done so long ago, but I had so many things to do. But will you call at your earliest convenience, because I wish to make out a will?" Then the man begins jotting down notes which will make that will one of the most famous in history. His mouth is sad and his eyes disillusioned as he recalls the facts of his life. He's won incredible wealth and worldwide fame, this man, yet he's one of the unhappiest of men. He sometimes feels that if he died while still young, this might have been a better world. Oh, he's glad enough to have lived, perhaps in all. It's been a very enjoyable life. He's been everywhere, met all the great men of his time, received more than his share of honor, money, and praise. But there's a strong voice deep inside him which constantly asks, "At what terrible price to thousands of your fellow men did you enjoy all this?" And it's a voice, this one of his conscience, to which the man cannot, dares not reply. He thinks bitterly of the shining hopes with which he'd perfected his great invention. At that time, it was the world's most powerful force, and one which he'd been confident would make a better world. He'd seen in it as invention to level mountains, clear off land, and excavate for great cities. He'd envisioned it as making possible vast highways linking nations, great dams supplying power for productive industry. But the men who sit in this world's ministries of war immediately had visualized other and more sinister possibilities for this force. This discovery would level obstacles of rock and earth, quite true, but with equal efficiency it also would level obstacles of human flesh. Yes, armies, ships, and even cities now could be demolished faster and better than ever before, thanks to this man who sits writing his will. He's tried without success, this man, to forget the suffering and death which his invention has inflicted. Once he even tried to explain it as an ultimate influence for peace with the argument, "The day when two army divisions will be able to destroy each other in 1 second, then all civilized nations will shrink from war." But that deep, quiet voice tells him this is a false and hollow defense. Reminds him only too clearly that his efforts have brought added desolation and death. He knows this is true, but now, standing almost at death's door, he's going to try and atone to the world in small measure for what his conscience tells him has been a great sin. But before the conclusion of our story, a word from your announcer. The man finishes his will, and in it disposes for a worthy purpose the millions which he's gained from the profits of war. He leaves that fortune as the basis for awards to be given those people adjudged to have made the greatest contribution toward lasting peace. And at the bottom of the document is the signature, Alfred Nobel. Yes, Alfred Nobel, inventor of one of warfare's most sinister weapons, dynamite, also was the founder of the Nobel Prizes for efforts toward world peace. The strange story of a man whose conscience refused to remain behind the scenes. And now, this is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again soon for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.